This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in every Sunday on this station for worship with us.
May I ask, have you drifted away from the faith of your childhood? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, your word confronts us with many personal questions. And today you ask us where we stand in relationship to you. You remind us that we can drift away and can become unbelievers. You tell us to beware of that time, for therein is found our salvation, and the promises that we are your children both now and forevermore. So give us the grace to explore this question as we turn to your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was a bright April morning when a young girl came running to me before the service started and said, "My dad is in church today. He doesn't come very often, so I hope you'll preach well, and then maybe he'll come back again next Sunday. I hope so." And then she walked off with a smile on her face that touched my heart. It was her confirmation day. She was a family that made a big event out of it. Even Dad came on that day, though he made no profession of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He seemed to be a nice man, good to his family, but didn't want to have anything to do with the organized church. In the building where we live, there is, in the corridor, a painting of Norman Rockwell. It depicts a father in one setting. It's Sunday morning, and the wife and three children are up and on their way to church. Dressed in the finery, they pass their husband and father. There he sits in his slumber chair, pajamas still on, smoking a cigarette, drinking a cup of coffee, and reading the newspaper. The mother and the two daughters kind of snub him. They lift up their noses. But the child, the boy, turns around and looks at his father with a heartbroken facial expression. You can't but wonder what is going on in that boy's head. Or what is the wife thinking? Is she perhaps having second thoughts about why she ever married him? He's been such a good husband. He's provided in every way possible. And he truly loves them and is faithful to them. But there is one thing that is lacking in their marriage, and that is any kind of a personal relationship with God. Well, I wonder if the little girl who came to me before the confirmation service started comes from one of those types of homes. Confirmation for me was one of the most emotional times of the year. Statistics tell us that more than 50% of those who stand in front of the congregation and confess their faith in Jesus Christ will eventually drift away. Now, it isn't that this group did not have good biblical instruction, for they had had three different teachers in three different years. They had been instructed in the biblical truths. For me, it was one of the highest priorities that I had. Preaching was always number one, and the instruction of my confirmation class, ninth graders, was number two. How I loved to gather with them every Wednesday night for about an hour and a half and talk to them. We studied together around the general theme for all of those weeks in the school year. In God's eyes, you are precious and important people. Not because of what you have accomplished thus far, nor what you will accomplish in the days that are ahead. But you are precious and important in God's eyes because you are who you are. You are created in the image of God. You have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ when you fell in sin. And you have been called by the Holy Spirit to be the servant of Jesus Christ himself. This lesson had been pumped into their heads week after week after week. They had been tested, and they had passed these exams. If they had any difficulty, we always had people who worked with them. They had written confirmation papers that described the faith and their relationship to the Savior. So they, from a standpoint of intellect, had the simple little story of the gospel. But the question was this: would they remain there? Would the Holy Spirit be given the opportunity to move all that knowledge into the soul until they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself and did not only know about him, but truly knew him? On that day, most of them, I believe, were very sincere when they made their confession of faith. But what about 5 years down the road? Could that teenage faith endure living in a godless, hard world that would give no encouragement on their faith, but probably try to discourage them in many different ways? I was concerned, but that doesn't matter so much. Here in our lesson today, the text for this service, we find that God is tremendously concerned. Let me read to you from the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 1. Here the word says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Now, right here, we get our theme for today. I don't want you to think that this thought has come from me, this question has come from me. Not at all. But God is asking the question, have we drifted away from that which we have learned in confirmation class, in Sunday school, or wherever it might have been? Potentially, we can drift away. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says that if we do drift away, and Jesus Christ no longer has any real meaning in our lives, then we are losing our salvation. For the only way that you and I can be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. So to think about a child who is growing up in that faith and then see him again later on and see that he has walked away, drifted away, perhaps still a fine young man or a fine young lady, but no contact with Christ whatsoever. That's disturbing. You know, sometimes I think we get more disturbed if they simply politically go another direction. I heard a man not too long ago say, "One of the most sorrowful things in our family is that our daughter has become a very, very staunch Republican. We have always been Democrats, and this is disturbing to me." It could just as well be the other way, that a son had become a Democrat and he had been raised in a Republican family. We get disturbed about political affiliations, and whether we should or not, that's not for me to say. But when we're dealing with the salvation of a soul, and people who once trusted Jesus Christ now had nothing to do with him, that is a serious thing, because this affects us both now and for all eternity. So God is concerned. And should the Church of Jesus Christ be concerned? Well, my feeling is that if it isn't, it should be. It should be to know that there are many people who are in that congregation Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, who probably know the lesson, but do not know the Savior. I sometimes ask myself the question, and I know I'm not alone on this, because it is discussed in one group after another. What will the church be like in another generation? Well, I am assured of this, that in another generation, if the old world is still standing, that the Church of Jesus Christ will still be here. And there is nothing that can disturb it or destroy it. Many leaders have tried to do that. But our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a promise. And the promise is that he has built his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when he returns, the Church of Jesus Christ will be present. Now I'd like to move a little bit closer to home. For many of us who listen to this program are members of mainline churches. And when I talk about mainline churches, I think about the Methodist Church and the Baptist Church and the Lutheran Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Episcopalian Church. And so you can go right down the line, the Congregational Church. What will they be like in another generation? Now, only God knows. There can come a real spiritual awakening. We can have a revival in these congregations and things will just be wonderful. But if we are going in the future, as we have been going in the past, I am really very skeptical regarding mainline Protestantism and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ alone is our salvation, and that Jesus Christ alone, through his suffering and his death and his glorious resurrection, has made atonement for our sins and is the only way to heaven. That is becoming, I believe, if I hear it correctly, something that is rather strange in some of the churches today. Well, where will the church be? And I wonder if it will not be with independent groups. Probably those who have said, I've had enough of this organized religion. I believe in my Savior. I want to live. And so they erect a church of their own. And some of these huge churches today, and the size perhaps is not the best, and we do not refer to them as being successful because they are so huge. But they're bringing thousands of people into their group. And they're telling them the story of Jesus. And that's where you have spiritual awakening. And that's where you have conversions. And that's where you have people saying, I love the Lord Jesus and I want to serve him. I have a grandson right now whose life is on fire for Jesus Christ. He lives in another part of the country, but he loves that church because there Sunday after Sunday in a very quiet way, he says, and in a most dignified way, and in a very academic way, the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed to him and he goes back again and again. I heard something some time ago, and I've heard it repeated often, that if you want to get a look at what mainline Protestantism is going to be like if it does not change its ways, you look to the church in Europe. Now, what is the church in Europe? Well, I have not spent a lot of time in Europe, but I've been there a few times. And each time I try to get to church, the churches are empty. Big cathedrals with less than 200 people in on a Sunday morning. And you talk to some of those who are there and they'll tell you, well, people in this particular country do not go to church on a regular basis like you do in the United States. Well, going to church doesn't mean that you're just in a living relationship with God either. But if you are in a living relationship with God, you will want to seek out the church, for there the church will feed your soul if it is living according to the mandate that God has given to it. There are a lot of things that make it hard today for the church to continue on, much harder than it did a generation or two ago. The mobility of our people moving all over the world, many times not having a place where they can go and hear the gospel. That's hard. And so it can take them away from the message on a Sunday basis for a long, long time. I have a friend. He's one of my boys. He was in my confirmation class. He went to Iowa State University and became a very fine engineer. Rose to the heights as far as his own profession was concerned and became an executive in a large company and was sent to China. And there in China, he has lived for a lot of years in a very prestigious position. He came home here some time ago to attend a funeral for his mother, and during the course of that time I had a chance to visit with him. I asked him, do you go to church? And he looked at me and he said, well, I have to explain this to you, he said, because of my position, the government over there permits me to go to church, and there are five or six churches of our particular denomination not too far away from where we live. But we don't go there. We have the church in our house. We gather believers in the homes, and there on a Sunday morning, we worship God. And do you know what? This will make you happy, he said. Sometimes I do the preaching. That's a marvelous thing, but it's a difficult thing, too. On the other hand, I have another young man who has moved about, very successful in his profession, too. And I asked him one day when he was back visiting his folks, where do you go to church? He said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, Pastor, but we do not go to church. I don't know, he said. We couldn't find anything that seemed to fit our fancy. It wasn't like what we had been used to. And so as a result, we're just unchurched. Well, it's a poor excuse. But you see, here's the case of what we are confronted with in our text today, the drifting away. One year after another, father and father away from Christ, living in a society that is filled with relativism, that there are no rights and there are no wrongs, but everything is subjective and it is a way that you look at it. Looking into a society that says the Bible is beautiful and we must hang on to it. It's a part of our heritage. But while the Bible is beautiful, its message in many, many cases is passé. To say that Jesus Christ is the only Savior is passé, they'll say. Well, this means that we have drifted away. What can we do? There are some helps. Turn to God's Word daily. If we will but do that, friend, we will not drift away. For through that Word of God, the Holy Spirit will speak. And as He speaks to our hearts, He will bind us closer to that Savior who loves us. The second thing is to surround ourselves with the brethren, those who love the Lord Jesus too. Who are your friends? I don't mean that we have to live in a little cloister, but I am saying this. We need friends who know the Lord Jesus, who can correct us, who can encourage us, who can forgive us, who can sustain us. We need those kind of people. Marriage. Who have you married? Tremendously important. There's far more than physical appeal, financial security, and social status in a marriage. It is a living relationship with Christ. And then living in that congregation Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, when the word is preached. We have to go there. We need to be together, for we can drift away. So just remember this verse, will you? I want you to know that it comes from your Lord. It's in the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. The Lord who loves you, friend, is calling you this day to be His forever. Amen.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Father in heaven, this is an important time in the history of our beloved land, for we will have a new president. God, we thank you for the contribution that President Bush gave to our country. We pray your blessings to rest upon him. And today we pray in a very special way for President Barack Obama. Give him wisdom. Give him humility. Give him strength. And Lord, we pray that all those talents that you have given to this young man may be used for the furtherance of your kingdom through the United States of America. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Consider honoring someone special with a memorial gift in their name. These gifts are commemorative for a birthday, anniversary, or any day in the life of a loved one who has passed away. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you'd like to join our mailing list, please give us a call at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Those on our mailing list receive a quarterly newsletter and can also receive a weekly email preview of the upcoming program. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Or you can call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, our radio speaker since 1962. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for 72 years.